Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, in less than 2 weeks, the Texans are going to begin a 10-day stretch. It's hard to imagine a tougher 10-day stretch to start the season. You're going to face the Kansas City Chiefs, the world champs, and the best team in the regular season in the AFC, the Baltimore Ravens, who've added Calais Campbell to their defense. The question I have for you, OG, and we're also going to talk about the latest on a familiar face potentially joining the Ravens, is are we sure that the Chiefs are the toughest team the Texans are going to face in that 10-day stretch? Or could the Baltimore Ravens actually be the team to beat in the AFC?
Well, they were the better team last year until the postseason, until the Tennessee Titans, you know, played one hell of a game, and Derrick Henry did what Derrick Henry did to a lot of people last year, especially in the postseason. I feel like we are so enamored with the Kansas City Chiefs, and I feel like they have some absolute edges over the Ravens. But overall, the Ravens might be a better team. I think they're, you know, the edge that the Chiefs have is a quarterback who's been there, done that, pressure's off, won a Super Bowl, not only is mobile, but has an incredibly, incredibly impressive arm, more so than Lamar Jackson. Obviously not as explosive running the ball, but just the overall better quarterback, number one. They also have weapons that Lamar Jackson just doesn't have. He's not that he doesn't have good weapons.
He has some good ones.
Yeah, not that he doesn't have good weapons, but come on, man. I mean, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and
Sammy Watkins.
I just go
Nicole
down the
Hardeman,
list. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is apparently going to be the next thing. So it's understandable why, you know, most of us, including myself, would say, oh, Chiefs, oh, man, Chiefs are going to be, you know, ridiculous. Ravens might end up being better, and it wouldn't be a big surprise.
Jordan Schultz had this conversation. Jordan Schultz does a lot of stuff for ESPN. He also does the C.J. McCollum podcast. He was talking about the Baltimore Ravens on his podcast, and I think he laid out a pretty good case for the Ravens being the better team that the Texans face in that 10-day stretch than the Kansas City Chiefs. Here is his case that the Ravens, not the Chiefs, are the better squad the Texans face during that stretch.
I think Baltimore has got to be, to me, the Super Bowl favorite, ahead of Kansas City, ahead of anybody else. If you really think about the Ravens last year, plus 250 and differential, they were dominant. Lamar Jackson, obviously an MVP, but I really hope he's okay mentally. Moving on from Earl, the fact that they have that offense, they bring in J.K. Dobbins. You know, you're talking about a team that's going to be able to run the ball and control the clock extremely well. Really good young tight end. I think the biggest thing for Lamar Jackson is just to be a little bit more accurate so that they don't have to always get bailed out. I mean, he's great at that. But if he can be a little bit more accurate, 2, 3%, you're talking about a team that, to me, should win the Super Bowl. You know, well coached. There's just so much to like about Baltimore.
Listen, they got Calais Campbell for a fifth.
I totally forgot about that. You're right.
And then they also steal Patrick Queen in the first.
I mean, look, they got Patrick Queen out of LSU, who was their best player, and they added Calais Campbell for a fifth-round pick. I mean, and I think there's just kind of this assumption that Lamar Jackson's just all of a sudden going to get figured out. I think that's the one thing.
That's a big mistake.
For whatever reason, like, the guy wasn't supposed to be a good quarterback in the NFL. Then all of a sudden you move the goalpost, and it's, well, teams are going to figure him out. Then he has one bad playoff game, and it's like, see, I told you so. And the goalpost just keeps being moved for Lamar Jackson. What if the best is yet to come for Lamar Jackson? What if Lamar Jackson, just like many other quarterbacks who don't play his style, what if Lamar Jackson just has early playoff struggles, like say a Peyton Manning, like say a Brett Favre?
Sure.
What if that this has just been a learning experience and he's actually going to get better? That's something else that Jordan Schultz answered. What about this theory and this notion that Lamar Jackson's going to get figured out and that the Ravens, because of that, are not in the same class as teams like the Kansas City Chiefs?
How do you figure him out? Like, you can't figure out the way he runs. I mean, he's the most dynamic runner at quarterback I've ever seen. I mentioned the accuracy. He was in the mid-60s all year. Everything he does has deception in it. And even if you do figure him out, he's probably going to improve as a passer, like I said, that it's going to be extremely difficult for defenses to get a read on him. But even when they do, like, I don't really know what you do to slow him. I mean, he's just so dynamic.
I think he's so dynamic, to use his word there, running the ball, that people just assume he can't throw. You know, even though all evidence to the contrary, you know, he was just talking about they're throwing in the 60s, you know, able to make, you know, plays. He's not Patrick Mahomes. I just said that myself. But people, he's just been pigeonholed as this caricature of this athletic quarterback. He's more than that. He's absolutely more than that.
And now there's rumblings that the Baltimore Ravens, who again already added Calais Campbell, who's been a All Pro, I believe, four times, if I'm not mistaken, he's been a Pro Bowler, I think, four or five times, could be joined by a familiar face around here, Jadeveon Clowney, now being linked to the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. So you already have a pretty good case. I still think Kansas City's the team to beat, but I don't think Baltimore is far behind. But you already have a good case that Baltimore is the Super Bowl favorite over Kansas City. And now there's talk that Jadeveon Clowney could sign with Baltimore and join a team that we already think is good. Would Jadeveon Clowney going to Baltimore, would that make the Ravens better than the Chiefs in your eyes?
Whew. Man, it would put him right there. I'm not trying to straddle that fence, as you like to say, but I really think it would be about a dead heat. I really do. I mean, I'd love to see them play each other. The Texans are going to be a good barometer, if you will, with both those guys early in the season. But what Clowney can bring and also provide for the other really good players on the defensive line. I mean, don't forget that. Look what he did for when he and JJ were on the field at the same time. I know it wasn't a lot. What they did for each other, it was pretty dang incredible.
I mean, he went to Seattle last year, and I think when they made that move, a lot of people were like, is this the move that puts Seattle over the top? Is this what's going to put them over the top, and is this where Jadeveon Clowney gets that fire lit under his butt? And he had some very good games. He also had the sports hernia, and it didn't quite go according to plan. But Seattle also had a lot of flaws on defense. So Jadeveon mm-hmm. Clowney wasn't just the missing piece. If he goes to Baltimore, he truly, truly, truly will be expected, and I think it's a realistic expectation to be that guy that takes them to another level and puts them over the top. They could be – they might not even need Jadeveon Clowney. We could be talking about the Baltimore Ravens in February playing in the Super Bowl without Jadeveon Clowney even being a part of things. But if he's there – that's a guy that can win you a game. You don't often add guys that can win you a game.
He scored two touchdowns last year, one on Sunday night game, whatever it was, pretty much by himself. Still, I always go back to the tackles for losses and the pressures that he provides. What would he do for Calais Campbell? Just that alone. What would he do for Calais Campbell?
And I mean, they already have all these guys that are already on the roster. And I think the thing that we need to keep an eye on is, we look at Pat Mahomes and we look at Deshaun Watson, and I think people assume that Pat Mahomes' best football is ahead of him. And we assume around here that Deshaun Watson's best football is ahead of him. I think Lamar Jackson last year, for whatever reason, people look at that and say, oh, that's as good as it gets. He's not going to be better. Like Lamar Jackson, oh my gosh. Granted, it was his first full year as a starter. Granted, the year before that, he became the starter and took them to the playoffs. But you know what? That's
how much better can he get?
That arrow's coming down. Like Lamar Jackson. And I'm not saying statistically Lamar Jackson's going to do what he did last year. I mean, statistically, Lamar Jackson is there's a chance that it doesn't get that good for him. Although, but you don't have – a lot of times people have these MVP years. Quarterbacks have MVP years. but they actually have better seasons throughout their career because they put it together. And when the playoffs come around, they put it together.
They get surrounded by more talent.
I just think it's a very dangerous mindset. And I'm not even saying that I'm completely free of it, but I just think it's a very dangerous mindset to assume that Lamar Jackson is just all of a sudden in his early 20s coming off taking the league by storm, all of a sudden just going to gradually get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And everybody says, well, Lamar Jackson, eventually he's going to get hurt. Pat Mahomes has been hurt. Deshaun Watson's been hurt. Lamar Jackson has not been hurt in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He has not been hurt in the NFL. So of all these three guys we talk about, as far as being hurt, Pat Mahomes has missed games due to injury. Deshaun Watson has missed games due to injury. Lamar Jackson has not. And breaking news, you've said this to me before, John Lopez. Mm-hmm. Most football players get hurt.
Most.
So if you're sitting there around and you can, and you're saying when he gets hurt, see, I told you so. Name me a football player that hasn't been hurt.
You can't.
Of all the three, though, he has not.
So far, but he's also got more weapons. You're a big fan of Dobbins, J.K. Dobbins.
And Devin Duvernay, know him very well.
And Duvernay they brought in. They already have Hollywood.
Who's put on some weight.
And, by the way, Mark Ingram.
You heard of Mark Andrews, who led all tight ends in touchdowns last year?
Exactly. So he could, I'm with you, he could just get 2 percentage points better throwing the ball. Two. And just be MVP again and take them to places they haven't been.
Yeah, I mean, he could be a regular season guy right now. But how is that, for whatever reason, we look at it different. You know, Peyton Manning struggles in the regular season, then he goes to the playoffs early in his career and he wets the bed. And it's like, oh, well, maybe one day he'll get over that hump. Lamar Jackson does it, and it's like, oh, yeah, see, the league's figured him out. Nah, maybe Tennessee just played a good game and Lamar Jackson just has some learning to do when it comes to the postseason. Maybe his team just wasn't ready to go. Also, Mark Ingram got banged up in that game, so they weren't able to run the ball as much as they usually would. That's why they added J.K. Dobbins to the mix, to where there's not as much of a drop-off. Arguably the best running back in the draft. I'm telling you, it's going to be a tough 10-day stretch regardless.
I agree.
The one thing we can agree on, and the one thing I think anyone can agree on, especially on the text line, is if it's not the Ravens, then it is the Chiefs, and if it's not the Chiefs, it is the Ravens. The Texans are facing the two best teams in the NFL the first 10 days of the season, which starts about 2 weeks from now, less than 2 weeks from today. So keep an eye on it. I would just warn a lot of people to be very careful with the way in which you look and evaluate Lamar Jackson. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on a Football Friday. Texan scrimmage yesterday. Sean Pendergast was in attendance. Unique experience that could come into play. There's something that Sean saw yesterday that could be a factor in the first couple games for the Texans and for the NFL as a whole. We'll talk to him about that. We'll also talk to him about who shined and who flat out sucked. That's next.
All right. Let's go inside the bubble from Texans training camp with Sean Pendergast.
All right, Sean Pendergast was at the In the Bubble yesterday, Texans scrimmage, or he's actually in NRG. Sean, I want to ask you first, what was it like without any fans or anything like that? Could you hear the players? Could you hear the calls? What was that like from an experience standpoint?
It was super weird, Landry, because I got to thinking, this is how it's going to be like during the regular season, at least for the first game. I mean, that was... You know, if it was just something where they're practicing it, I mean, they've practiced inside the stadium before when there's been nobody in there. But to think that not only are they practicing, are they scrimmaging in the stadium, but they were doing everything that they would normally do on a game day, from warming up with no pads on to going back in the locker room, putting on pads, coming back out and warming up, going back in the locker room, being introduced by the PA guy.
That's a lot of responsibility on you, because you got to say the last name for everyone.
Yeah, well, they introduced them as a team, but the PA guy did go, and now you're Houston Texans being introduced as a team. Like, for real, that happened. Mm-hmm. And they played Clay Walker after 24-yard field goals. They didn't fire the cannon. I was a little disappointed. They fire the cannon after failed red zone attempts that result in short Kaimi Fairbairn field goals. Nevertheless, they played the Clay Walker song. Like, they literally tried to do everything like it was a game day. So it was super weird. We were in section 106 and 107. So we had the equivalent of pretty damn good seats. We were at the 50-yard line, and we weren't very far up. I was probably furthest up of any of the media members. I just like to be up higher to be able to see things. And we really couldn't hear anything down on the sidelines. You don't realize how far you still are from the players in the sideline. I mean, it's a cavernous stadium compared to, you know, an empty basketball arena where you'd probably hear everything. And baseball, maybe you'd hear some things if you're near the dugout. We really didn't hear much down on the field. But it was strange. It was strange when you think about this is what it's going to be like in week two.
Right. I want to get into the weeds a little bit, as they say, with you, because don't look now, but they have to cut their squad a week from tomorrow. I mean, it's talk about sneaking up on you. We keep talking about, well, 2 weeks they're playing a game. They're making cuts a week from tomorrow at 4 p.m. So I want to get into start with the depth chart, the quarterback depth chart. You reported, you know, by the way, just great job the whole time from the bubble.
Thanks.
But you reported that A.J. McCarron just didn't look good. I mean, just flat out did not look good. I tossed out there, you know, the contract isn't that, you know, enormous. And who knows with Alex Magoo, who knows if they're going to bring someone else in. How do you see the quarterback depth chart play out?
I think they're still going to start the season with Deshaun and with A.J. McCarron, if for no other reason, John, that Alex Magoo's gotten very, very few reps in training camp. So I think it's going to be A.J. McCarron as the backup to Deshaun. And who knows, maybe A.J. McCarron didn't look good because he was with the twos and he didn't really have much out there with him. You know, that could be, you know, if A.J. McCarron has to step in for Deshaun, then it'll be different when he's got the starting offensive line in front of him and he's got Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, you were hard on him yesterday, man. You were hard on my man, AJ.
McCarron?
Yeah, you were hard on Mr. Webb.
Well, okay, how do you know I was hard on him? I was there. You weren't. He was awful.
I just feel like he's running with the twos, man. I feel like you got to go easy on my man, AJ.
Well,
Landry,
let me ask you this.
How many first drive touchdowns did Deshaun Watson have in the 2019 regular season, buddy?
Zero. He had zero.
How many did AJ have?
He had one. So if you want to go ahead and start AJ McCarron, knock yourself out. But Landry, the turnovers he had last night were awful. The interception that AJ Moore. Hey, Landry, you got to pick an AJ here. I know this AJ Moore thing is not really up your alley. So you got to pick one. So if you're going to back AJ McCarron in the AJ McCarron to AJ Moore interception, I'm going to let you die on that hill, my friend. But, The touchdown that Jacob Martin had was because A.J. McCarron couldn't handle a shotgun snap.
He's bored.
You're acting like the guy's got number one overall level talent. Like, you know, he's so talented, he's bored. Bored with NFL football.
Yeah. You know what A.J. McCarron is?
What is he?
If we're talking about the A.J.'s, this is my theory on the A.J.'s. You ready for this? This is the theory on the A.J.'s. There's two types of players in this league. There's guys that bring out the rice, and there's guys who don't. Riff Raff, explain the theory on the AJs for Sean Pendergast, please.
If you was in high school, you had your, if you was ever played basketball or any type of sports, you got your practice players and you got your performance players. Now, the practice players are always going to be on time to practice. They're going to be running the plays perfect. They're going to be making the layups in practice. They're going to make the coach happy, all that. That's a practice player. Then you got your game time players that bring the rice out.
See, A.J. McCarron brings the rice out. A.J. Yeah. Moore is a practice player.
Yeah. McCarron did have a pretty good record in college. I'll grant you that.
He did
bring the rice out.
I don't know
Alabama.
How Alabama was ever good with him.
We probably spent like 2 minutes too long on A.J. McCarron. Just know that he's been bad this whole training camp. If he has to step in for Deshaun Watson, my confidence level is low that he can win a football game.
All right, I got questions, man. I got questions. I know we can't we can't give away, you know, plays and sets and calls and things, but I'm just catching a vibe here, and you're there every day. I'm catching a vibe that Anthony Weaver just may be using safeties a lot differently than other guys, like 4, 5, 6 DBs on the field at the same time. Just from what I'm seeing with A.J. Moore, John Reed seems to be getting some run. I'm sensing that the defensive backs might be a whole different animal this year.
It's funny you say that, because I brought this up with Seth this morning, John. And look, I take notes at camp, right? I sit there and I take notes, and especially when it's 11 on 11, because that is the most translatable thing that they do out of practice. That's the one that maps the most, even when they're in this thud mode where they're not bringing guys to the ground. That's the activity that they're in that most resembles real football. And what I found myself during this camp doing more than other camps that I can remember, more than when Romeo Crennel was a defensive coordinator, is that when there was a sack or there was pressure in the defensive or in the offensive backfield, collapsing of the pocket, more than ever this year, I always write the jersey number down of the person who caused the disruption. And more than any other year, I found myself jotting down numbers and names for corners,
right.
and safeties, and other guys who kind of came free because they were either disguising things or running little schemes and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's something to that. You know, we don't get to go back and rewind and watch film like the coaches do. So it is kind of a feel thing when it comes to that. And you look at your notes and you look for trends. And, yeah, I would say more than previous camps where I've taken notes before as well. This year I thought, oh, wow, okay, John Reed got in the backfield. Hey, wow, look, that was Justin Reed that got back there and made that sack.
I keep seeing that. I see your reports and others. I'm like, man, they sure are bringing a lot of pressure.
Vernon Hargraves had a sack last night.
Yeah, they're bringing a lot of pressure with the DBs. Yeah, I saw that. Hargraves had one. I mean, earlier, Crossan had a moment here and there, et cetera. All right, this is the most important question you're going to be asked today by anyone.
Okay.
The loopholes provided this question.
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to ask the same question.
We've got two separate, maybe more by now.
Oh, I'm pumped for this one. You did not put this in your Pinder notes.
Two separate texts.
I'm pumped for this
Two separate texts with this one question. What is Jack Easterby doing / is he wearing a headset?
Okay, this is great. He is not wearing a headset. He is down on the sidelines. Now, at practice, he is sort of bouncing from group to group and doing a lot of pad slapping and butt slapping and pep talking and doing a lot of that stuff. And then he likes to find at practice, he likes to find it looks like. This is just my observation.
Right.
He may very well be listening because he's probably a loophole and he's going, that's not what I like at all. But this is what it appears that he likes to me.
Okay.
Is he likes jumping in and doing the little things with certain players who are off to the side. You know, like you guys saw the video I did you guys saw the video I did in training camp earlier where he was, you know, kind of playing faux defensive back.
Oh, 100%.
No.
Did he grab a dummy? Let me take it away from this specific situation in sports.
Did he grab a dummy and line up?
He did not. You mean like a tackling dummy? Not calling one of the players stupid.
Yeah, well,
is it,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Okay.
Like 2 days ago at practice, Isaiah Coulter is out with an injury, but Isaiah Coulter does this thing. I've never seen a player do this. He carries a tennis ball around with him all the time.
Newt did that. Mm-hmm. Newt did
that. So maybe it's one of those things where it's like if you start playing catch with somebody, if you can catch a tennis ball, then a football is just a much bigger
target. Dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Newt would play ball in West Virginia when he wasn't practicing.
And just so you know, Sean, I've seen DeAndre Hopkins put a tennis ball in a jugs machine and catch it. So maybe that's what he's doing too.
Well, this is what Easterby was doing. This is back to Easterby.
Yeah.
Easterby took two tennis balls and he's playing like a two-man juggling thing with Isaiah Coulter, like they were rehearsing for the circus or something like that. And they were playing back and forth. He's the guy at practice that likes to go around all the different groups. He almost looks like a fan at fantasy camp.
Coach. Like,
yeah, and at the game last night, or the scrimmage last night, he was on the sideline, way down at the end, kind of by himself, but then sort of interacting with guys who were at the far right end of the bench, which would be the offensive end, where you guys know where the offensive linemen sit, where they put up the medical tent down at that end. He kind of hung out down near at that end. He did not have a headset on. But I think that's an interesting, like, what do you guys think? Like, I thought about this today. Before the show, I'm like, I wonder where he will sit at games.
He's going to
be right there.
Here's
what he's going to look like. I think Easterby, because I call him the best athletic director in the NFL. I think he's going to be like a strength coach at a college program that's just geeked up, always the first guy out there. Looks like his head's about to explode. I think he's going to be like the intense, like up and down the sideline strength coach.
So you think he's on the sideline? Because I mean, the possibilities in play are one, because I'm going to treat him like a general manager for a second, because he's an executive with the team, but he's involved in a general manager type role, even though O'Brien's got the title. We've seen in the past with general managers here, Rick Smith sat next to the McNairs. He sat in between Bob McNair and Cal McNair. Brian Gaines sat up in the press box like a, you know, like a football junkie, you know, like a scout. And then there's the sideline, which it sounds like you think he's going to be on the sideline, right, Landry?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. J-Lo thinks he has the answer to this question. Sean, can we keep you over? Because there's some other stuff that we need to discuss about this. So we're
going to
keep Sean Pendergast here. He was at practice yesterday. We are less than 2 weeks away from Texans versus Chiefs. We're going to talk to Sean about this, as well as someone else that has been inconsistent during camp. Could he be getting the red tag on the locker within the week? We'll cuss and discuss with Sean. We'll also play the hits because they're lit next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
I will get more with Sean in a sec, but Lopez says that he has the theory on what Easterby will be doing on game day. He says it's right in front of Sean's eyes.
I do, Sean, because if they did, you know how detail-oriented most NFL teams are, and I think Bill O'Brien more so than anyone, they did the introductions, they did everything. He talked about it, PA announcer, medical tent. If that's the case and they are emulating game day 100%, then 100% Jack Easterby will be on the sideline.
Yeah, I think it's a fair theory. And I don't think he's, you know, when I was making the comparison in the previous segment to previous general managers, I don't know that you can compare Easterby to a typical general manager or personnel executive, because the guy is such a unique background. Like, there's nothing traditional about Jack Easterby at all. His journey into that job, his personality in that job, he's very unique. So I would, and he feels like a guy who would want to be down there. Like,
I don't think you can keep him
with the players.
Yeah, I don't think you can keep him from being down there.
Being a shining ray of positivity in a possibly otherwise negative place, you know?
Sean, what happened to Kahale Waring yesterday? You were tooting that horn so much. What happened yesterday?
Keep in mind, I didn't toot. I merely reported two spectacular touchdown catches. I was not here to opine on Kahale Waring. I was just there to tell you that he started to look like somebody who was who the Texans were scouting. Nevertheless, he looked back to being overwhelmed yesterday. He was they gave him some time with Deshaun Watson on the field. So I think that was a theme to me last night, was there were certain players who had run with backups for nearly the entire camp who were getting looks with guys who are clearly not backups.
Right.
You know, so you could see how they operate in that ecosystem. Kahale Waring did not operate well in that ecosystem. If it were the Nature Channel, he would have been the animal that was getting eaten up by the larger predator.
Right.
There was a third down play where he was kind of running a crossing route from right to left, probably about, you know, 10, 15 yards deep towards the left sideline. And Deshaun kind of put some air under a ball to kind of drop it in the bucket to him. And Kahale turned over the wrong shoulder. I'm assuming he turned over the wrong shoulder. I'm going to put that on Kahale Waring,
yeah,
not Deshaun
I think it's
Watson.
Safe. I think it's
yeah.
safe. Yeah. Hey, go ahead.
You know, there was another play where Deshaun tried to hit him and just he couldn't shake free of Justin Reed, which there's no crime in that. Justin Reed's really good. But when your superhero power is your athleticism and it's third down, you'd like to see the guy shake loose. I guess the good news for Waring is that Jordan Thomas didn't do a ton to distinguish himself in the game yesterday in the battle for the third tight end spot. He actually dropped a pass on third down. So
are you and McClain watching the same practices?
What's that?
Are you and McClain watching the same practices?
Are you talking about John saying like Jordan Thomas is like the biggest
yeah.
surprise?
Yes.
It would have been correct to me, like after maybe three practices, but since then, Jordan Thomas, to me, do I see everything John sees out there? No, like, but Jordan Thomas to me has had opportunities to really make an impression in this camp since he made a favorable one the first week or so. And every opportunity that I've seen him get, he hasn't been able to do it. He had a chance earlier this week to catch a ball behind him over the middle, dropped it. He caught a ball in the back of the end zone and did one of these deals where he kind of caught it. And as he was getting his feet down in the back of the end zone, he was holding the ball with one hand like up over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Michael Thomas just came in and swatted it out of his hand like it was a basketball,
wow.
you know. And it was so I disagree respectfully with John that Jordan Thomas has had a great camp. I think he's been okay.
From
I think
everything
he's been better
I
than Kahale Waring.
Yeah. All right. We know it's Friday. You got things to do in your life, but I got to leave you with one more here.
Sure.
It's third and one, fourth and one at the opposing 42-yard line. 2 minutes left, tied game. You got to run the ball. who's doing it?
Deshaun Watson.
Good answer. Yep. What if you have to turn and hand it?
David Johnson.
Really?
Lord. Both of y'all's asses are fired, first of all. It's a tie game at the 42. Why don't you punt?
No. Okay, you're down three. Whatever. You got to run the ball at the opposing 42.
I know what you're saying. The situation is very specific. They need it. Landry's criticizing my game management
in the middle of a make-believe game.
Yeah.
No comment.
What's going on here?
Doing a show with Greg Cosell.
You get the point. But you got to turn and hand the ball, Landry. And you say David Johnson over Duke Johnson?
For a got to have a yard play. Yeah, I mean that's not Duke's deal, really. You know, right. I don't know that either of them are in that.
Well, that's why I asked. I don't think I'm not so sure it's David's deal anymore.
Yeah, well that's why my answer was Deshaun Watson.
Right.
I'd run something with Deshaun out of shotgun, maybe with both of those guys on the field with him, and then there's a lot of stuff you can do, right? Yeah. I mean, you got some receivers who can shake themselves open. I think Jordan Akins has shown himself to be a good option at tight end, and maybe you run a little RPO action in the backfield. But right now, the answer to your question to me is Deshaun Watson.
I agree.
All right, Sean Pendergast with the report of what went down yesterday. 13 days away, Sean.
Two more weeks.
Go. Two more weeks.
Two more weeks.
Here we go.
I'm
stoked.
I'm a loophole, man.
You are a loophole.
That's our guy right there. Sean Pendergast. Thank you very much, sir.
Have a good weekend, fellas.
All right, man.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals. The tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Faux practices to go for the Houston Texans. Then they're going to
play 2 weeks from now.
Yep. 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now. Four practices to go. After that, they're going to have to make cuts. They're going to have to make cuts. Don't know how many surprises there will be, but keep an eye on Kahale Waring. Keep a close eye on Kahale Waring, because a lot of times coaches will try to make a statement. And if you keep Kahale Waring around, let's say that Kahale Waring is worse than Jordan Thomas, but he might be a little bit better than Stapleton.
Right.
If you just keep that guy around just to keep that guy around, a lot of times it's not the ideal message for your team. Sometimes you can cut a guy like a Kahale Waring who you don't see like a real bright future in to send like maybe a little, remember slap bracelets, like a slap on the wrist type of message to your squad.
Yeah, but I think most guys, a player like that, when they get cut or they get kept, they're just like what I've been saying. Man, that's the politics. That's the politics of the NFL. They don't get nearly as vocal and upset as like when a DeAndre Hopkins gets traded. You know, he's a peripheral player.
No kidding.
Well, exactly. But he's a peripheral player. They're like, all right, I guess they're keeping Waring. You know, and most position groups don't really pay that much attention other than if they're involved in plays with that cat. From everything we can gather, man, I think he's fighting for a job, and I think he's going to end up getting that job because he's got that third round next to his name.
So you got the Chiefs. Then you got the Ravens. Then you got the Steelers. Normally a tough place to play. That's week three.
No fans.
Steelers announced that they will not have fans at their first two home games, so there will be no terrible towels.
Yep.
How weird is it going to be to go to Pittsburgh, play a game with no terrible towels in the stands? I don't know what they can do, but the Steelers need to figure something out.
They will.
Maybe they get like some towels just waving around. Virtual like on a fan.
Something.
Maybe just go put a bunch of fans in the seats and just have towels waving around the whole game or something like that. You can't play at Pittsburgh without terrible towels.
It's one of the great scenes in the NFL. If you're just looking like, you know how they have the helicopter, the Goodyear blimp or whatever picture. One of the great scenes in the NFL is Pittsburgh. Just Pittsburgh, terrible towels, all that yellow, gold, whatever. It's going to be really, really awkward.
What's better, the terrible towel or the cheesehead?
Terrible towel. Cheesehead's cool, but terrible towel is, you know, you see him waving it kind of like the back in the old Love You Blue days, you know, with the blue towels. Absolutely.
Andre Dillard, Texans almost drafted him last year. Andre Dillard, out for the season with the Eagles. He was looking to bounce back. He was moved from on the right side and left side of the line last year. Andre Dillard now done for the season.
I mean, clearly that's a huge hit. That's the guy that is going to be holding it down for you. And man, I mean that you go in scramble mode when you lose a tackle. You just absolutely do.
Could I interest you in a statistic?
Of course.
Most rushing yards for a QB since 2018. Lamar Jackson, 1,901.
That's almost a joke.
Numbers are hot.
1,901. Second place, Josh Allen, 1,141.
That is amazing.
800 Josh yards. Josh Allen. 1,141. Deshaun Watson, third place, 964. 1,901 in the person closest to Lamar Jackson is 1,141. And oh, by the way, Lamar Jackson started only the back end of 2018.
That's incredible.
1,901. Could I interest you in another one?
You know I love it.
Most rushing TDs by a QB since 2018. Who do you think has the most?
Most rushing TDs? Again, it's got to be Lamar Jackson.
It is not. Josh Allen, he has 17.
That's incredible.
Numbers are hot.
Second place is a tie. Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson each have 12. Dak Prescott has 9.
Wow.
Astros versus A's tonight. Second half of the season continues. Lance McCullers is going to be on the mound. This is going to be an interesting next few days for the Astros because they have 3 against the A's, then they have 3 against the Rangers. Now, when it comes to the A's, they're 4.5 behind the A's for first place in the AL West. They're 5 games ahead of the Rangers. So you want to? We'll probably know in the next few days if the Astros are going to make a move and at least be in contention for that division title against the A's. But, again, you only have to finish in second place to get into the postseason.
Yeah, but it's a big series.
5 ahead of the Rangers, though, you can pull away.
Big, big series. I like McCullers starting. Man, the postgame show is going to be lit post-game show.
Post-game show today. I am taking the day off. It is going to be, I'm going to be acting a fool. It is going to be John Lopez and Figgy Fig.
How about that?
With you for the post-game show. You'll hear from Adam Spillane.
About 11 o'clock or thereabouts is when we'll hit the air.
And you can go on that post-game show drunk.
I was planning on it.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, what? Is this supposed to be news to me?
Well, I'm just telling you. Just telling you.
Nah, we'll see. We'll see about that. At least a little bit.
You're loud.
I know.
You're chilling. Post game show 713-572-4610. Get it in. Chop it up with the OG. Big week for the Astros. Big next few days for the Stros. Big weekend for the Rockets. Looks like they're going to play tomorrow. We don't know when, though. We will
probably find out soon. Yeah.
Soon when they're going to play. Russell Westbrook, by the way, was on the practice field yesterday. Practice courts. Still in football mode. It's Football Friday. He was on the practice court. Apparently looked like a complete savage beast on the court.
He was out there this morning, apparently, too. So, as the Athletic reported, he is going to play. He's going to play. So, that's obviously important and big for the Rockets. Hopefully, he'll be able to. What were you saying? He's not going to be like Jim?
He's not going to be like Jim from American Pie lose it early. Here's a little preview of Jim from American Pie. Hopefully this ain't Russell Westbrook with all that pent-up aggression.
Strip?
Slowly.
You mean like strip?
For me.
What is he talking to her about?
No idea.
Come on, Jim. People are viewing. Get to business.
Jim.
Jim?
What?
Oh, no.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
No. Oh, no.
There's your chance.
Oh! You don't have to swear, dude.
Houston, we have a problem.
There's your chance, Jim.
What happened? What did he do?
He blew it.
Well, I'm out, man.
Nadia was very disappointed.
She was disappointed. Did you ever have, whenever something like that happens in high school, even if it's not on tape, that can travel down the halls quick.
Not if you're careful.
Well, a lot of times the girl wants to go.
Oh, well, girls and women talk about it. Guys, if you don't think women talk about every single detail, you're fooling yourself. I mean, when I say every single detail, I mean every single detail.
My friend in high school
with their friends.
Jeff Bergen pulled
Jim.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually, they actually engaged.
Yeah.
And he was apparently pretty quick. Shout out to Missy Elliott, Minuteman.
Oh, my gosh.
The girl decided she was going to go, like, tell everybody the next day at school. So by the time we walked in,
I'm saying.
Jeff Bergen's getting laughed at.
Hey.
And you know what Jeff said to her?
What?
At least I got mine.
Atta baby.
Good job,
Jeff.
I don't care. At least I got mine is what Jeff said.
Good job, Jeff.
Is that the right mindset?
Yep. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, you do got to be worried about Russell Westbrook, a guy who plays as hard as Russell Westbrook does. It's like boxing. Like, a lot of times whenever people are watching boxing, guys who truly know it, a lot of times you'll look at the fighter that looks the most amped up and you'll say, man, that guy's about to beat the other dude's butt. But then that guy wears out. Like, his energy is just so high and he's using it so much that he runs out of steam and he's just gassed, like, in the third round and ends up getting beat up.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to monitor the minutes, but that's absolutely in play because even an incredible athlete like him is going to – you know, if you go too hard too quick, it's gonna catch up.
The thing about Russell Westbrook in this series compared to, like, the Lakers series, if the Rockets win and they face the Lakers, if the Lakers are able to finish off the Blazers, is I think 15 minutes, 20 minutes of aggressive Russell Westbrook is enough to put you over the edge against Oklahoma City. I think the Rockets are a better team than Oklahoma City even without Russell Westbrook. I think they've played some sloppy basketball the last couple of games when they've needed it most, but I think 15, 20 minutes of Russell Westbrook is a big deal against Oklahoma City. But I think when you face the Lakers,
yeah,
you need Westbrook close to his best. I think you need a Russell Westbrook close to his best. But just going out there and giving
you got to get there first, man.
Relentless.
I mean, you got to get – it's an all-new series, and you and I both thought after the first couple of games, over.
I thought before.
After the first one game, you said it was over. And I still think the Rockets will win, especially now, but – I mean, you still got to do it. You still got to get it done.
They'll get it done, right?
I think they will. Yeah, I think they will.
Right?
Yeah.
You sure?
You don't seem real confident.
I don't think this team has it. Although I do think Russell Westbrook has it.
Yeah,
I think he's a little bit of a killer. I don't think there are very many killers on the Rockets.
Yeah, and he's one.
I think James Harden's one of the best shooting guards
we talked about it after game
of all
four.
Time, but I just don't think he's a killer.
Mm-hmm.
I think Russell Westbrook's a killer, sometimes to the detriment of the team because a lot of times he gets too aggressive, but I think when it comes to just being a straight killer, Westbrook and P.J. Tucker are the two killers on the Rockets.
Yeah, I'm glad you include Tucker, too, for sure, 100%.
I got to include my banking partner, P.J. Tucker. We go to the same bank, dude. Both wait in line.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He throws that cash in there.
Shout out to Bank of America on Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
That's still a bizarre story. He doesn't do direct deposit.
I don't know what he was doing, but he deposited that check. The lady had to make a call to the back and say, this is above my limit. Are you sure about this, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's put that in there. P.J. Tucker just out there. A man of the people. 713-572-4610.
They are,
if you want to get in.
By the way, officially now, it is official, resuming the playoffs tomorrow.
Yeah, we just don't know what time.
Right. But they were saying it was being reported. The NBA is now saying yes. So we're playing playoff basketball mañana.
We just don't know what time.
Yeah.
We have no idea. Did you see that Michael Jordan was a big part of that?
And including with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, Michael Jordan spoke to the players, and apparently MJ told them, look,
well,
gotta get out there and ball.
He was talking about a number of things. I was reading the story this morning. Obviously, what can he do? We wanted to support him, et cetera. Use your platform, you know, in a positive way. Make sure. And I think he kind of not negotiated, was maybe an intermediary with what we were talking about yesterday, how the players are going to be having an audience with owners, and maybe the owners can do more.
Yeah.
I think Jordan had something to do with that.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic.
Mm-hmm.
When push comes to shove during the playoffs, LeBron James walks out of the room, Michael Jordan comes in, saves the day, and all is right.
Hits the game winner.
LeBron runs away from the meeting. Michael Jordan comes in and saves the day. As much as things
well, that
change,
settles that debate.
The more they remain
that
the
settles
same
that
here
debate.
On Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig on a football Friday. We are how far away, B.O.B.?
We play 2 weeks from now.
Two
yes, you do.
Weeks from
Now, let's look ahead next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.